We learned yesterday the National Guard is buying drones, but why are they training them to behave like bees? Here's Krista Amundson from member station KAZU.
Ready for auto takeoff on 7.
A dry, grassy field surrounds a tiny airstrip at a remote National Guard base in Central California.
3, 2, 1.
At this restricted airfield, researchers from the Naval Postgraduate School have loaded a V-shaped drone, they call it a flying wing, onto what looks like a giant slingshot. The drone soars up into the air, and it settles into a racetrack pattern. It's up so high it's hard to see, but the sound from its propeller is inescapable, like a buzzing bee. And with each launch,
3, 2, 1,
the buzz grows louder. One after another, they settle into that racetrack pattern.
Ready for auto on 1, 2?
They're aiming to get 24 drones into the swarm.
In our context, swarming means this large collection of aerial robots working together to do something meaningful or interesting.
That's Dr. Timothy Chung from the Naval Postgraduate School. He's heading up this project.
The one behavior that we'll be testing out today is a leader-follower behavior where the aircraft talks amongst themselves.
Talk amongst themselves over Wi-Fi. Once up in the air, they're programmed to determine who's the leader, and the other drones follow 50 meters behind.
And so those types of algorithms make it a lot smarter, more intelligent, than what we typically think of as just drones.
It's why Chung prefers to call them unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs. Although a pilot is on standby to take over if needed, these UAVs are autonomous. In fact, the last moment of direct human contact is the launch. Once they're all airborne, Chung stands on the side of the runway holding a clipboard. He looks up. His hand shields his eyes from the sun.
We have a live bird looking to join the flock here.
They've launched 20 UAVs into the swarm. He's watching for that leader-follower behavior. And it's working.
That's cool. That's actually pretty cool.
Are they all following that?
They are. And that guy had a failsafe, so everybody went along for the ride.
The point of today's experiment, get as many UAVs swarming as possible and do it cheaply. Each costs about $1,000. The idea is to go for the expendable rather than the exquisite. P.W. Singer is a strategist at New America, a think tank in Washington, D.C.
There's some tasks that you're going to want things that are small and cheap and maybe even disposable.
Like out at sea, where he says a swarm could spread out and be in more places at once, searching for an enemy fleet, perhaps.
Or maybe it's not just about finding the enemy, it's about doing something about it. And so with swarming, you can surround an enemy target and essentially overwhelm its defenses, where even if they're able to shoot down, say, 90%, the last 10% can still cause damage or even sink you.
There could be civilian uses, too. Swarms could monitor large agricultural fields or help add eyes in the sky to a search and rescue operation. But the technology still faces challenges. Some are political, like air traffic rules and concerns about privacy. Other issues are technical, withstanding high winds or having enough power to stay in the air for long periods of time. Timothy Chung is one of several researchers across the country working on this because the military has identified swarming as a priority.
Recovery team, home base, return to base when you've collected all aircraft.
At the end of this experiment, the drones land one by one.
Our intent is to keep pushing, be able to have these technologies mature enough to be able to deploy up to 50, hopefully in the near future.
Chung believes his team holds the record for the largest swarm. After getting 20 in the air when I visited, they tried again just last week and got 30. For NPR News, I'm Krista Almanzon.